श्रीला गुरुदेव की जय, श्री मन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री श्री गौर नित्यानंद की जय, श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंद की जय। Here my mother is commenting on the chat, spectacular. She's totally biased. only child with the... So, good morning to all of you. Welcome. Thanks for coming again, for your precious time and attention. Trying all of us to engage in the... enter into the fire of Harikatha. Harikirtan Satsanga. So today we are continuing with our series of lectures connected to Gaur Lila. Dev Madhav Prabhu extended that generous invitation to speak about how we can dive deep into Gaur Lila. Someone is waiting for me on my left, it seems.
Should I be on the right?
Okay. So yesterday somehow we started with that, although we mostly concentrated on Sri Rai Ramananda's Tirubhav Mahotsav. Somehow it was a great way of starting to introduce this non-introductory reality called Gaur Lila, Gaur Tattva, the least introductory reality we may possibly conceive, as hopefully we can glimpse furthermore these days. So we can increase our appreciation for Mahaprabhu, who is basically the Ishtadev of our Gaudiya Sampradaya. We are Gaudiyas, it has to do with Gaudadesh, Gaudamandal, and all that happened here and happened there and happens, keeps happening there for eternity. So today and probably tomorrow or another day, Dev Madhav will confirm later, we will continue exploring this this reality of Gaur Lila. So also I'll try to connect some points with what we have been studying at least one day, which is the Brahma Stuti, and we'll be doing that this day, so as to kind of interconnect all the topics we are sharing today. So actually this topic of Gaur Lila and the ultimacy of Gaur Lila, the supremacy of Gaur Tattva, Nityanadi, on all these related topics is something that I feel quite called to, inspired to, and also I'm planning with the blessings of my Guru Maharaj, hopefully with the blessing of all of you, to continue writing a second book project. So I'm supposed to be here on a tour promoting my first book, but my mind is mostly on my second book already. That's what happens sometimes. No? And as I mentioned before, when I wrote my first book, it was kind of a child, having a child, although that's the only child I can have as a sannyasi. But the whole process was like that, no? Like conception and all the stages in between and after and so on. And sometimes parents have one child and already plan, let's have a second one relatively quickly so the two of them grow together. So something like that is happening now. The first one came, but I'm mostly thinking about this, the second one now. So I'll try to, whatever I will share today or tomorrow or the next day, we'll speak about this. It's kind of connected with some of the ideas that already are coming in mind for this project. And also Dev Madhav Prabhu tried to suggest that in connection to the relatively recent installation of Sri Sri Guru Nityananda here, so as a way of also serving the local community, and hopefully some of my words may inspire all of us to increase our appreciation for all that Gaur Nityananda, Gaur Lila represent for us. We should never think we know enough about that, or we should never take for granted, as I like to say, Krishna consciousness. So one of the main intentions in sharing these ideas, as I mentioned already, is that Gaur Lila, Gaur Tattva is not only a mere bridge, a mere entry gate, entry point, a mere means to a goal. It is, but it's also a goal unto itself. Of course it is. Prabodhananda Saraswati have said, yatha gaura yatha yatha gaura padara vindam vindeta vaktim krita punya rasi tatatata sarpati hridyakashmat radha padam bhuja sudambu rasi. He will say, the more you immerse yourself into the service of the feet of Mahaprabhu, the more you will emerge in the ocean of the service to the feet of Sri Radha. So that's one famous statement which points to this idea. Gaur Lila takes you to Krishna Lila. And it's perfect. I mean, we are celebrating that. That's our great fortune. If it wouldn't be for that, we wouldn't be here today in Itzilanti sharing these topics. But also the other possibilities there. There is a nice verse in by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sarvabhauma Sataka after he was converted. And you can see the degree of his conversion, but these type of verses, which unfortunately I have not committed to memory yet, but that's in the verse lists. But he's saying basically the opposite. Not opposite, but the other aspect. The more you go deep into Krishna Lila, the more you emerge in Gaur Lila. So of course, there's not conflict between these two. The more you go deep into one, the more you emerge into the other. The more you emerge into that one, immerse into that one, the more you emerge into it. It's the same Lila. Krishna and Gaur are non-different. Braja Lila, Nadia Lila is non-different. So it's important to keep that in mind and not create in our minds some like dichotomy. Oh, you are speaking about a second person, a second Lila, but one is, again, the most natural extension of the other. We will try to make that clear, hopefully, these days. So, Gaur and Gaur Nityananda in particular, who is the presiding deity here at the Harmony Collective, of course, they are always in, as you can see, in celebration mode. Hopefully you will never open the altar and they have their two arms like that. Oh, okay. I'm tired of all of you guys. What's going on there? So Sri Gaur Nityananda is always celebrating. Sri Krishna is always playing the flute. Again, hopefully you don't open the altar and Krishna's like... Sri Radha is always giving some blessings and so on. No? So the point is, the altar is an eternal portal for us. It's a window into eternity. So in eternity, they are always celebrating. They are always engaged in that. It's not that someday, let's take a break from the Sankirtan or something like that. No? So they're expressing this type of mudras, no? Like, basically means overflowing, no? Overflowing, and that requires celebration, basically. Gaur Lila is all about celebration. That's a very nice way of translating kirtan. Kirtan is not just chanting, singing. Of course, that's part of that, but the inner fuel is celebration, overflowing. So overflow, when you are full... In this world, sometimes we are moving, as Meghun Raj likes to put, out of emptiness. We have some existential void, existential hole, and we are running here and there trying to, whatever, take stuff or people, ask stuff, and make them fit into my existential hole. I have a hole with this shape, and I start to look for someone to fit in that shape. You know? And I see a person say, oh, you have exact same size form as my existential hole, and you're trying to feel it, and so on. So out of emptiness, we are moving in this world, basically. That's what we call karma. Someone who may attain peace, no, like a Buddha or something, they say, as my Guru will say, stop doing something and just sit. No? When sometimes we are children will say, no, do not just sit, do something. No? But now, do not do something, just sit. No? But the point is, because you can sit because you have no longer material desires that keep you running here and there. But on top of that, we have the dispensation of Gaur Nityananda, which is, you are so full that you cannot just sit. You are overflowing in Ananda. That's their path. Parama Karuna Bahu Dui Jan Nitai Gaur Chandra Sava avatar sara shiromani kevala ananda kanda. So that's our kanda. No, we don't follow karma kanda. We follow gyan kanda, upasana kanda. We follow kevala ananda kanda. No, that's the path of exclusive bliss. No. So when you are so much full of that, you cannot just sit. You have to raise your arms and start dancing. You follow. That's a movement also. But it's a movement out of fullness and not out of emptiness. Do you follow my point?
I mean, yes.
And that's why bhakti is so difficult to understand at some point, because it seems, I mean, you are doing the same thing as every person, interacting with the world, and for most of the people, transcendental spirituality means something that has to seem overtly transcendental. So you have to just wear a loincloth and dressing on ashes, and have long dreadlocks or something, and live in the nearby cave, and only then you are transcendentalist. But if you are a Gaudiya Vaishnava engaging in Yukta Vairagya and using everything with proper sambandha, it's like, what's the difference between you and my grandma or something? And of course, for that you have to pay close attention and go beyond the external form. Because especially Gaudiya Vaishnava will try to, with proper sambandha, will engage everything in Krishna's service. Like when someone asked Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta, why you are riding a car? Because at that time a sannyasi was supposed to walk barefoot everywhere. He was on a car, which was just a very brand fancy new creation in the world. He was just... So why you are using a car? And he replied in a very Gaudiya way. He said, only Gaudiya Vaishnavas should use a car. Only we are entitled to do so, because we have the proper orientation to understand what's the car. It's a Shakti of Bhagavan who has to be used in connection to its source. That's what we are doing. I'm not riding a car. I'm connecting Shakti with Shakti Mam. Of course, no easier said than done. You have to walk the talk. No? Be careful in the name of Yukta Vairagya, getting entangled in the name of dedicating all this planet to Bhagavan. No? You have to be honest. But the point is that Gaur Nityananda's stance is fullness, no, plentiness, and they are celebrating life. That's Leela, that's Kirtan. Leela means divine playing, which has no specific purpose in a I want to attain something because I'm empty. No, I'm so full that overflows and becomes that celebration. Like Rasa Leela in Braj. It's not that the gopis are empty, no, they have prem. It's not that Krishna is empty, he's Atmaram. So they get together to celebrate their fullness. They not get together to do away with their emptiness. So that's one thing. That's on one side is Leela, Kirtan, as opposite to the movement in this world, karma. Karma is more like forced work, if you will. We are impelled by the laws of nature to act and behave in one way or another. And on the contrary, you have Leela and Kirtan, which is celebratory movement, as I like to put it. That's the ideal of Sankirtan. It's a celebratory movement. When we say Sankirtan movement, it's not only movement as a group or institution, but it's a movement, not only physical, but the Sankirtan movement starts by having something moving in my heart. So that makes my body move, and very many bodies moving and hearts moving, that creates a movement per se, collective, harmony collective. I'm just sponsoring the local community here. But that's connected, of course. That's why Gaur Nityananda is here, presiding over that. So of course, on one side, Gaur Nityananda are overflowing in celebration. And again, that overflowing becomes their dispensation, their distribution. That's the ideal of prachar. Prachar doesn't mean, I impose something on you and try to convince about something that I may not be even myself too convinced yet. And I need the whole world, I need to see the whole world chanting Hare Krishna so I get further convinced. I must be doing something good because everyone else is doing that. Be careful. Yeah. Preaching should be done on the basis of real universal compassion, not so much like lack of faith from my own side. So I need all of you guys doing that same thing. So, okay, I must be in the right place. All of them are doing that, so it's okay. You are confirming my lack of faith, if you... But real prachar means I'm so full that that starts to overflow me and starts to sprinkle other people and becomes contagious. That's how Mahaprabhu did it. Sometimes he was termed by some scholars as epileptic. He was not actually ecstatic, he was epileptic. All these seizures and... But my Guru Maharaj likes to say, but epilepsy is not contagious. But whoever saw Mahaprabhu crying, dancing, they will fall into the same quote-unquote epilepsy. So epilepsy is not contagious. So that was Mahaprabhu's way. Prachar. Prachar means pra-achar. Achar means behavior, and pra means a very special type of. So interestingly, we translate sometimes prachar as preaching, although that's not the term. I appreciate Madhavananda Prabhu once he gave a lecture. We do not preach, we engage in prachar. And prachar, interestingly, we may say preaching, but actually means a special type of behavior that by itself, by its own speciality, transforms the hearts of others. And that was the standard of Mahaprabhu as we spoke these days. He sat in front of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. How he preached to the greatest logician on earth. Just how he converted. He not only preached, converted him. How? Silent. Silence for a week. That was his preaching. He didn't need to say anything. He just sat for a week and the greatest logician on earth was totally converted to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. That was just... Why? Because he has such a strong conduct, prachar, achar, that was exuding from his pores and converting the greatest personality. Then he converted how Venkatavata in South India, how? Just joking. Uh-huh. Well, Lakshmi was not able to enter Rasali. Oh, no, no. But checkmate, come to the Gaudiya camp. Prakasananda Saraswati, he was just sitting on one side with total humility, didn't say anything. She converted him and his 60,000 sannyasis. So that was Mahaprabhu's prachar. He didn't need to say that much because his example spoke louder than precept. So my point is, that's real prachar. No, prachar is you are so full about in something that starts to overflow you, overflow, starts to sprinkle other people. And that thing that is touching your heart naturally will touch other one's heart. Because it, first of all, it's touching your heart. So if you are really convinced about that in your heart, that will reach others' heart. So that's how Gaur Nityananda are conducting their epidemic campaign, if you will. No? You know how Nityananda Prabhu will do that. I mean, he even didn't wait for the Goswamis to write all the Bhakti Granthas, as you know. That happened eventually. But Nityananda and his associate, Dwadasa Gopals and so on, they went to Bengal, knocking at every door. No, strongly, they didn't do. They were like, no? You may open a Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga. I'm converting everyone in that way, like just crying and you chant the name of Gauranga and I sell myself to you. Imagine Nityananda Prabhu knocks on your door at home and tells you that. And you don't need to imagine that. That's going on. That's happening. Hopefully you hear that knocking. Every time the altar is open, Nityananda Prabhu is saying that to you, basically. So Nityananda Prabhu is giving Mahaprabhu to the world. One of the famous mudras of Nityananda is also this one, where he's fully given Sri Chaitanya Dev to everyone. And Mahaprabhu is tasting, as we know, the highest limits of Sri Radha Bhav. And by that tasting, he's extending the possibility of tasting the highest possible reach of his experience for us jivas. So, anyhow, this is an introduction to the topic today. I got a little bit sidetracked, but lost and found, fortunately. No problem. So, as I was mentioning, Gaur Lila for us is... Yeah, it's the door to the goal, as we say, yes, they can be seen as the pearly gates to Braj, to the Krishna Lila. And one of the features why this is so is because all the members of the Gaur Lila, as we mentioned yesterday, who are eternal associates of Bhagavan in Braj, they are behaving as sadhakas, which is a very user-friendly situation for us. Now, all these perfected beings in the Braj are appearing in another lila as practitioners, but not just practitioners, but perfected beings acting as practitioners. Sometimes nowadays it's called sadhana siddha bhumi, or the land with perfected beings, siddhas, engaged in sadhana. So what may happen if that's going to take place? Now, take all these nitya siddhas, ragatmika associates of Bhagavan in Braj, and put them in another lila, and now you become a sadhaka. So what will happen every time they say Hare Krishna? What will happen? All the things that the scripture is saying. If you just chant half a syllable, you pass out. So all the things happen in Gaur Lila at every moment. Someone once asked my Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, Krishna Lila sounds pretty exciting, all these rendezvous and intrigue, and but Gaur Lila doesn't seem that much interesting, he said. My Guru Maharaj said this, like, I mean, try to think about that. I mean, all the things that Shastras say that can possibly happen by just chanting Srinam, half a syllable, by associating with a devotee for a millisecond, all those things are happening in Gaur Lila in the highest possible way at every single millisecond. So that's pretty exciting. So for us, that's pretty instructive, because again, these siddhas are appearing as sadhakas and are allowing us to have a point of reference. Okay, what does it mean to be sadhaka in every sense of the term? And how we can aspire in that direction. So Gaur Lila can be seen as the doorway to Krishna Lila. And what's Krishna Lila? A few words about Krishna Lila, about Braj, so we can further appreciate Gaur Lila. I mean, that comes and goes. If you want to speak about Gaur Lila, you have to speak about Krishna Lila, as we were saying yesterday. For some devotees may focus on Krishna Lila and not necessarily connect with Gaur Lila. There are many sampradayas also in that connection. But if you focus on Gaur Lila, there is no way you cannot avoid Krishna Lila. So, as they say yesterday, two are but the price of one, basically. Mm-hmm. So what's Vrindavan for us? Yesterday we spoke a little bit about that. I like to quote always one nice verse from the Damodar Lila that Sukadev Goswami invokes, and that Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this is the Paribhas Sutra for Krishna Lila. Paribhas Sutra, remember what this means? Like this statement. Yeah, around which all the other statements have to be seen in connection to. So there's a Paribhas Sutra of the Bhagavatam, who is Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions one Paribhas Sutra for Krishna Lila, which happens to be in eighth chapter of the 10th canto, verse 45, for the verse maniacs. Traya chopani shabdischa sankhya yogascha sattvatai upagiya manamahatmyam harim samanyatatma jam. Very simple verse, but given the thing. And it is, he who is considered as the absolute truth by Veda, Upanishad, and all these different systems, he is seen by Yashoda as her son. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is mentioning, this is putting all Krishna Lila in context. In other words, Krishna is known as God by everyone except for the Vrajavasis. Yashoda is kind of representing the spirit of the Braj here. Mm-hmm. So she cannot see Krishna as God. It's not possible. Don't try to do that if you meet her at some point. Don't try to convince her. I mean, Uddhava tried when he went to Vrindavan, you know. He was not successful. In that sense, he was successful in learning from the Brajavasis. He thought, I'm coming here to teach us about something. And he realized, oh my God, I'm learning something. That's why Krishna sent me here, ultimately. I'm learning. I'm discovering a new Krishna, interestingly. Because Uddhav was a minister, personal servant of Krishna in Dwarka. And he thought, I mean, I know Krishna pretty well. He's a great devotee. Krishna says about him, I love Uddhava more than I love my own self. So you can imagine how close Uddhav is. When he went to the Braj and learn all the things, he discovered a new Krishna, because he discovered another level of love for Krishna that corresponded with the form of Krishna. I mean, every type form of love of Krishna corresponds with one Krishna, if you will. So he was accustomed with the Krishna that corresponded with the love of Dwarka. And that was his Krishna. Now he went to Vrindavan and he realized, oh my God, I never knew about this Krishna. I'm getting to know my Krishna much more now. More equipped by the grace of the Vrajavasis. So, basically the idea is Krishna in Vraj is the origin of all sources of divinity. That's what this Parivas Sutra of Krishna Lila is implying. And in Vraj, we say Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, we will add Gaudiya's Vraja Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Because you can speak of Mathuresh Krishna, Dwarkesh, Braja Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. That's the very source of all forms of divinity, as we are seeing in the Brahma Stuti, when Krishna showed all these forms coming from Braja Krishna, basically. So this is the very unique contribution of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. This Braja Krishna is the fountainhead of all faces of the Absolute. And this idea that, as I said the other day, Krishna is not an aspect of God. God is an aspect of Krishna. You have to accommodate that somehow. God, Vishnu, Narayan, generally that's God, no? Or Paramatma. Sometimes people think of God, he's mostly dealing with us and the world. And for us, that's Paramatma. Paramatma is the presiding deity over Maya Shakti and Tatastha Shakti, as Jiva Goswami explained. So, yeah, that's God. But Krishna is way beyond God. God beyond God, if you want to put it like that. He's still God, but that's in the office. That's what's going on in the office. Yeah. But Krishna in Vrindavan is God at home. I like to always make one joke in this connection. Maybe you already know it, because that's the only joke I know, basically. It's a Siddhantic joke, so I'll share it with your permission. Very briefly. So once, I told it the other day. So those who were in North Carolina looking at the lecture, said, oh, Maharaj, again this joke. I will quote it only once in every single place I visit, just in case. Unless I learn some new one. Until. So they were two friends from childhood, and eventually one became the Pope, and the other one became a Gaudiya Acharya. So they get to know about each other, somehow, social media, whatever. So they organize to visit each other. So the Gaudiya Acharya goes to the Vatican to visit the Pope. So they meet each other and start to share their respective spiritual journeys, and so much to tell. I mean, after, I don't know, 50 years of not meeting each other. So at one point of the conversation, there is one, the Gaudiya Acharya notices something on the back of the corner in one side, and it's a red form. So he says, the Pope, what's that red phone? It's like, and the Pope says, that's the phone for speaking with God. I know nowadays with cell phone, that a phone apart from the cell phone is weird, but try to play out the joke created 20 years ago. There were no cell phones, there were only these phones.
I'm old enough to remember that.
Sorry?
I'm old enough to remember that.
Yeah. So the Pope says, do you want to try? We need to speak with him. And the Gaudiya Acharya said, well, I can try. No? So he speaks, but he was okay. He didn't. He mostly speaks with God, but with his God, by chanting Harinam. That's his cell phone, basically. So he spoke like 15 seconds or something, 1 minute. He said, okay, how much was the cost of the call? So the Pope said, well, like 250 euros. You're in Europe, no? So, and of course that's pretty expensive, you're speaking with God. So okay, Gaudiya Acharya did some Madhukari in the Vatican, he received something, so he gave and returned to Braj, where he was living in. So eventually a second visit is organized, and the Pope goes to Braj, big event now. So the Gaudiya Acharya is taking the Pope to Parikram. Vrindavan leadership has hidden all the monkeys and pigs. Let's clean the Jamuna. Pope is coming. Maybe we need to take the Pope to Braj so all the things are in place once and for all. Anyhow, so eventually they meet with each other. And in the Bhajan Kutra of this Gaudiya Acharya, the Pope sees a red phone. So he asks his friend, oh, this is what I think it is. He said, yeah, I knew you were coming, so arrangements were made. So, can I try? The Pope said, yes, of course. Yeah, I need to speak to solve a good amount of things. Lots of managerial staff in the Vatican. I have to speak with him. Okay, no problem. So he speaks like for 3 hours or something. So call ends, and the Pope says, okay, thank you so much. And how much is the call? So the Gaudiya chair is like, 100 rupees. I am 100 rupees. And that's like $2 or something. But I spoke 3 hours, 100 rupees. I mean, you spoke in the Vatican 1 minute, it was 250 euros. And here in Brach, I spoke 3 hours and it's on 100 rupees. And the Gaudiya chair replied, yes, because here is local call. So that's the God we worship. Idea is Braj Krishna is God at home. That's my point. Local call. So that's the idea. That's the contribution of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. The intimacy is such there in Braj that everyone, nobody's thinking about Krishna in terms of he can be God. And even if that happens, as we say yesterday, even if someone may suggest to Nanda Maharaj, maybe your son is God. Apart from giving his arguments for that not to be so, he will end up saying, and even if he's God, first of all, he's my son. Try to imagine that psychology. That you are able to accept that possibly your son is God, but that's a secondary consideration. That's an upadhi. First he's my lad, he's my child. Then he can be all the things he wants, even God. But here, first, he's my child, and since he's my child, I have to educate him, I have to chastise him if that's required for him not to be spoiled when he grows. Then he may be God and so on. But first, he's my child. You can imagine Uddhava's face when he was hearing this from Nanda Maharaj. Like, what to say here? Like, Uddhava Bimohan Lila, basically. Another Bimohan there, yeah. So, this is a mood in Braj. Now, remember, all this in connection with Gaur Lila. So in Braj, they do not only, as they say, worship Narayan and love Krishna. They do not worship Krishna. They love Krishna and they worship Narayan for the sake of Krishna. But even whenever Krishna exhibits some Aishwarya, the psychology of the Brajavasis is such that their intimacy with Krishna grows. It doesn't shrink. No? Like it happened to, let's say, Arjuna. Arjuna is Krishna's friend. He's in a type of Sakyabhava, Puri Sambandhi Sakyabhava, like city friend. But when Krishna showed Vishwarup, I mean, Arjuna's Sakya totally receded to the background. He was crying and begging forgiveness for treating him like a friend. So that's the type of Sakya he has. But in Braj, If something like that will happen, Krishna's friends will just like joke. No? Krishna will show universal form and say, what are you doing with that nonsense? I mean, you're wanted to play tricks on us, we know you. And all this. I think that when Krishna was lifting Govardhan, as we know, I mean, pretty ashvarik. No? Imagine your 5-year-old child is lifting the whole Ypsilanti in one finger or something, no? Like, for a week. With the smallest one. It's like, I mean,
left hand.
Yeah, left hand. All the possible considerations to make it the bigger contrast there. And none of them were thinking, again, what's going on here? Yashoda was thinking, oh, you must be tired for holding this mountain. Open your mouth. And was feeding him. And his friends were saying, hey, put the heel on the other hand now. It's already 3 days. You must be tired. And they started like to massage Krishna's arm. No? And even better, they will say, give the whole heel to Sri Dham, who is stronger than you. I mean, we know that you are every day defeated in wrestling with him. So, I mean, give the heel to Sri Dham. He can hold it. So that's the psychology of Vrindavan, basically. No one of them are thinking, how is possible that a child can be lifting a heel? They're just increasing their intimacy to Krishna. Even in the face of majesty, their intimacy is such that whatever you put on their way, the intimacy only increases. If you put intimacy, their intimacy increases. If you put majesty, their intimacy increases. That's Vrindavan's psychology. It swallows everything on their path and nourishes their own intimacy. That's the example given in Premsamput, that of the lion feeding on the elephant. The elephant comes on the way, the lion feeds on the elephant and becomes more stronger. So everything on the way, it represents nourishment for that. So again, that's the God we worship. Even if Krishna shows some majesty, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives that nice example. Like a mother with his child, and the child becomes the president. So if the child becomes the president, the mother won't change her, but sadly, he will say, "Oh, Mr. President, good morning." Or he will say, "Oh, my boy, how wonderful, now he's the president." No? But the first consideration is, "Oh, my boy." Then, oh, he became the president. Okay, my boy. And the day he's speaking, even his first speech as the president, "I want to bite my mother," and the mother will run and embrace and start to kiss, and he said, no, man, not here, I'm the president." Oh my God, he's totally carries the president. I mean, so the fact that he became the president is increasing her motherly love. That's the point. So that's how it works with the Vrajavasis. So with someone like Brahma, going for a minute back to Brahma, in the Brahma Vimohan Lila, witness and pray, like we were studying a little bit here, Brahma Stuti, he was like awakening to the degree of and the quality of the love of Vrindavan. He will basically end up saying, aho bhagyam nanda gopa brajokarsham janmitram paramanandam purnam brahma sanatan. Brahma still has some admixture of Aishwarya at this point, and he's saying, aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. The word aho is expressing like chamatkar, expressing like astonishment. And twice he says, aho bhagyam, how fortunate are these Vrajavasis. Because he who is the supreme absolute truth, Purna Brahma Sanatana, has become their friend. They are treating, and this section of the Bhagavatam is pretty much Sakya Rasa center. Brahma Vimohan Lila, Agasur Lila, Denukasur Lila. You have these three main centers in the 10th canto. Vatsalya center, Sakya, Damodar Lila, Sakya center, Brahma Vimohan Lila, and Madhurya Rasa center, Rasa Lila. So first Brahma is saying this. I mean, how fortunate. He's like totally overwhelmed about what he's just discovering here in Braj. And then he basically concludes his prayers in the Brahma Stuti, telling Krishna, first, two points, interesting points. Why? First one, what other reward other than you exists? You are the embodiment of all prices, Brahma is saying. And then, interestingly, he's by appreciating the affection of the Vrajavasis, he will ask, that said, how will you manage to reciprocate with the Vrajavasis? How you will give yourself to the Vrajavasis? Because, for example, you gave yourself to Puttana in such a way, and so on. Putana approached you like trying to kill you, basically. Like a mother, but trying to kill you, the worst possible approach you could imagine to Krishna. I mean, just recently born baby, and you dress like a very loving mother and approach offering your breast milk, but actually poison is there in the background, in every sense of the term. Everything is poisoned. The worst possible way you can do to approach Krishna. How did Krishna reciprocate? He gave Putana Vatsalya Bhavingolok. Like, what? Totally. I mean, that's what we call Kripa Siddhi. You receive perfection without doing any sadhana. Do not strive for that. Just in case you, I may join Putana's gang, Putana's group. No. That's like winning the lottery. So don't strive for that. No? It's not like, okay, I won't work because someday I may win the lottery. To begin with, we don't play lottery. So. But just in case you were thinking, probably you won't win it. No, if you try as hard as you can. So, so we are not of the Kripa Siddhi club, basically. No? We want sadhana siddhi. So, but the point is, you gave to Putana in such a way, I mean, you have offered her such a position, and she approached you with the worst possible intention. So now I'm seeing the love of the Vrajavasis, and I'm wondering how you will reciprocate to them. If you gave such a thing to Putana, what will you give to them who approach you in such a way, in such a loving way? I don't know how you will repay to that. And interestingly, Krishna doesn't say anything at that point. No, he's kind of, good question. How to repay to them, especially Vrajavasis, Gopis, Shirada in particular. I have no clue. He's not replying here. No, he's entering into, can't think about that. That's a good question. He's silent for a while. And his reply to that question, if you want to put it like that, will come, but a few chapters after. No? This was presented by Ram, asked by Brahma in chapter 14 of the Bhagavad, and after almost 20 chapters after in the Gita, in the Bhagavatam, the height of the Rasa Lila, Rasa Panchadhyaya, Krishna will reply. And how will reply? Don't lose context. We are actually speaking about Gaur Lila. But there is no difference. All is in the context. Don't lose sight of that. So as you know, Rasa Lila, I will briefly mention this because, I mean, to speak about Rasa Panchadhyaya requires a few lifetimes. And hopefully we are willing to that. We have eternity supporting us. And as you know, Krishna joins the gopis eventually. He plays in Sarad Purnim, he plays the flute, gopis join. He sends them back home. They do not agree. And Rasa Lila begins on some level. Eventually Krishna disappears from the scene with another gopi. Gopis are looking for him. They see these two pairs of,
Footprints,
thank you. And eventually they find that gopi, who is Shirada, according to us, Gaudias. And the other gopis find Shirada and they join her in separation from Krishna, and they engage in kirtan in separation from him. That's what we call the Gopi Gita. Jayati tedikam janmana braja shrayata indira sasvadatrahi daita drishatam vikshutavakash dvaidrita svasram vichinvati, and so on. 20 verses like this. And Krishna is witnessing this Gopi Gita. The song, the kirtan of separation of the gopis led by Sri Radha. Krishna is camouflaged before a tamal tree, behind a tamal tree. He has tamal complexion, dark complexion like a tamal tree. That's why he's called Tamal Krishna. So he's camouflaging behind this tamal tree and witnessing the degree of the gopis' love blossom and flourish in separation. And he disappeared mostly because he wanted the gopis' love to increase. I mean, their love is pretty increased already. But the nature of love is that it will always keep increasing. That's interesting dynamics with love. You are full, but it can always grow. So that creates a unique sense of transcendental dissatisfaction. You follow? I'm full, I'm loving Krishna, but I can always love him more. There's something always to be attained. So Krishna disappears, said, I love my gopis, I want the best for them. So wanting the best for someone you love is let your love increase. So he knew the best way for that to happen is I will disappear. And in separation, they will attain a new height of affection for me. And also second purpose is the world, we will witness this situation and the glory of the gopis' love will be established clearly. And nobody will misunderstand this is a mundane thing. So mostly those were the purposes in Krishna's mind, but when he was witnessing the gopis kirtan, a new purpose came into his mind that was not in the agenda. Because he started to see the degree of the gopis' love and especially Sri Radha's blossoming separation to such a degree that he started to wonder, what's he experiencing? What is she seeing in me that makes her be who she is? What's the beauty she perceives in me that creates these wonderful results, effects in her? So Krishna starts to think, I have to taste that. I want to experience that. I want to experience myself from Radha's perspective. So here we are in the height of Krishna Lila, the very apex of Krishna Lila, Rasa Lila. And in this higher moment of Krishna Lila, we could say, Gaur Lila is born. So Gaur Lila born, quote unquote, again, this is not something in time, but it's a way of putting that. Now, in the highest point of Krishna Lila, Gaur Lila manifests. for you to understand, this Gaur-lila is not just like some inferior thing. No, no. That comes in the highest reach of Krishna-lila. So, the point is, Krishna is developing this new desire. I want to experience that. So he reappears amidst the gopis after the Gopi Gita, as we know. And he comes with his pitambara around his neck, you know, like if that's a way of when you are, repenting on something wrong you did, like a criminal. In that age, a criminal, that time, they put this cloth here, you did some crime. So Krishna is appearing in that way in front, humbly, in front of the gopis. And he's saying to the gopis, at this point he starts to reply to Brahma's question a few chapters back. How will you repay them? And Krishna says, how will I repay? Well, to begin with, I will repay breaking my word in the Bhagavad Gita. I have to contradict myself, Krishna says. What did I say in the Bhagavad Gita? Chapter 4, verse 11. Yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mamabhat manubhartante tamstataiva bhajamyaham manusya partha sarvasa. But the first part, he's saying what? According to how you approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. The way you worship me, I worship you. That he says in the Gita, and that's already pretty incredible. But here in the Bhagavatam, he's saying, I cannot sustain that statement any longer. In front of your love, he's saying to the gopis, I cannot reciprocate accordingly. I cannot. You are so exclusively surrendered to me, but I'm not that exclusively surrendered to you. I have so many other devotees I have to reciprocate with. I have my mom, my father, my cows, my friends, people in Vaikuntha here and there. So I'm reciprocating in so many directions. You are only pointing in one single direction. So I have to break my vow of the Gita. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is like the upgraded version of the Gita. In the Bhagavatam, you will find Krishna saying things that he contradicts what he's saying in the Gita. Contradicts in a charming way, for sure. No. So he's saying, I'm not able to repay your love back. He's saying, Napariyam nirabhadya sanjayam sasad krityam vibhudaya sapiva. Samabhajan durjara giha shrinkala sambrishyatadva pratiyata sadhana. He's saying, actually, I cannot repay back your love, the love you have for me, even if I will try in a day of Brahma. That's pretty long time. We spoke about this the other day. So I cannot repay back your love. Let your own love be its own reward. That's kind of the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. Love is its own reward. Not even Krishna. Love is its own reward. Even for Krishna. Our goal is not Krishna. Our goal is love for Krishna. Krishna Prem. Krishna Bhakti. So he's saying basically that. Your love for me is, you have to be satisfied with that. It's such a reward that not only I cannot pay that, I mean, I cannot even start to conceive how much of a debt I have. Try to imagine this. One thing is you say, I cannot pay the debt. Another thing is, I don't have a clue how much is the debt. That means you really have a debt. You cannot really know how much do I have to pay. So Krishna is saying here this, I don't have a clue how much do I have to pay, what to speak of paying that. So let your own love be your own reward, basically. Krishna is accepting his defeat, a defeat of love, basically. That's the God we worship, again. Rasa gana mohana murti vichitra kili mahotsavula ashitam radha charana abhiloditam ruchirasi kandam harim bande prabodhananda saraswati saying, I offer pranam to that Krishna who is rolling at the feet of Sri Radha and his peacock feather is full of the dust coming from Sri Radha's feet. I worship that Krishna, he's saying. So Krishna is acknowledging, if you will, his limitations, the unlimited in Lila. He's acknowledging his limitation, trying to repay back Sri Radha's prem. That was happens also in the very nicely in the prem samput, when Krishna disguises himself as a heavenly damsel and goes to Sri Radha and starts to speak about oh, you are so noble, so incredible, but why you are with that Krishna? He's such a rascal. No? And Sri Radha starts to express her love for him in such a way that Krishna starts to say, you love him that a lot, but he doesn't deserve you. And actually Krishna is feeling that in that moment. You follow? He's speaking as if he's someone else, this heavenly damsel, but Krishna is saying, actually I'm a rascal in front of you. Actually I do not deserve the glory of you. I mean, we spoke the other day about causeless grace. And how we will never deserve that. Well, Krishna himself is feeling that regarding Radha. He's feeling, your love for me, I do not deserve that. It's causeless grace. And he's dealing with that for eternity. So he's not asking that to us and he's not walking the talk. God himself is doing that in the first place. So in this very famous verse of Krishna Lila, which gives rise, if you will, to, again, to Gaur Lila in the Bhagavatam, not only Krishna is saying this, I cannot measure the debt, I cannot pay the debt, may your love be its own reward, but another reading of the verse, according to Srila Sanatan Goswami Pad, in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita commentary, he quotes this verse and he says, Krishna is saying, I cannot pay your love, even in a day of Brahma, but I'll try my best. I will come, the Sanskrit lends itself for that interpretation. I will come once in a day of Brahma, disguised as a sadhu, and will try to preach the glories of your love and will try to make devotees for you. Krishna is saying to Radha. So, of course, that means Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Krishna is saying that I won't be able to solve my debt, but I cannot just remain like, okay, I cannot pay, I cannot do anything, so I just rest. No, no, I have to do something about that. So I'll try my best. while trying to repay my debt, I also try to get as closer as I can of your experience of me, Krishna is saying to Radha. I want to see what you see in me. That's a very interesting idea. No? I mean, my Guru Maharaj likes to say, Krishna is having an existential crisis at this moment, in the sense that he thinks he knows him, but he's seeing, or Sri Radha is seeing me in certain ways, feeling certain things, and I don't know what's there in me that makes her as special as she is. It's something in connection to me, I can tell, but I don't know, I need to be in her shoes, basically. I need to experience myself from Radha's vantage point. Basically. And because as the saying goes, I think that you say in English, right? Beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. So Sri Radha is contemplating Krishna with certain eye, prema netra, we will call, the eye of love. And beauty lies in the eye of the beholder, of Sri Radha. She's the beholder. She's beholding Krishna in a certain way. And Krishna is saying, what love is there in your eyes, basically? How you are seeing me? What you are seeing in me? I want to know myself more by entering your shoes. It's interesting. I mean, you generally won't find this type of questioning in any theological tradition. You know? General theology is more about, does God exist or not?
Does God want to be God?
Yeah, yeah. And here we are on another level, another place. So that's how, in one way, Gaur Lila is beginning in the height of Krishna Lila. How Krishna himself chooses to adorn himself with the mood and the hue, you say?
Yeah.
Of Sri Radha. And Srila Semaraj will call that heart and halo. No? He embraces Radha's heart and halo. Radha Bhava Dyuti Shubhalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. Radha Bhava Dyuti. Her bhav and her duty, Krishna tries to incorporate that. Krishna is known in the Bhagavatam as Bhushana Bhushanangam. Now, he's the ornament of all ornaments. He doesn't require ornaments, but the ornaments becomes ornamented by him. But now, that same Krishna, the ornament of all ornaments, wants to be ornamented by Radha's mood and hue and so on. So that's a very unique idea. How? In another way, do you have a few minutes? No problem. Mm-hmm. Okay. You let me know if it's too much.
Eternity is supporting us.
Yes, sure. Okay. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna's beauty is ever increasing. As we mentioned, that's the nature of Krishna. Nitya Kishore, Nabajovanam, and so on. He's always updating himself in terms of beauty. And the more Krishna's beauty increases, the more the service disposition increases in his devotees to serve that beauty. No, because devotees are serving Krishna's beauty, if you want to put it in that way. So his beauty reaches this point, the devotee's service disposition reaches this point to serve that beauty. And by Krishna receiving that loving service, that makes him more beautiful. So his beauty is now here. No? And their service disposition increases. And Krishna's beauty increases. One is corresponding with the other. Mm-hmm. So the point here is Krishna's beauty is on one level, but Sri Radha's serving disposition is on another level, and that makes Krishna's beauty to reach a point where he has to become Gaur, basically. Uh-huh. We could say that Mahaprabhu is the byproduct of Radha's serving disposition. It's a consequence of Radha's love that makes Krishna adopt that form. In trying to reciprocate with that. So Krishna's trying to taste Radha Bhav. And his beauty is increasing as Gaur in such a way that... And the loving this... I mean, Krishna's appearing now in this uniquely beautiful form as Mahaprabhu. And remember, the devotee's service disposition have to be at that level. So if Mahaprabhu's form is uniquely beautiful, the service disposition to that uniquely form has to be uniquely service disposition, uniquely beautiful in itself. An increased service disposition to that increased beauty in Krishna's Mahaprabhu. So the point is, the love that we can have for Mahaprabhu is superlative, is unique, because Mahaprabhu's beauty and form is superlative. So the necessity of service to that unique beauty in that form has to be uniquely paramount, if you will. So that's how we find God in this most ultimate form. As I remember once, as my Guru Maharaj likes to say, you know, God is mostly found in love of God. Once Sri Radhanath Maharaj said, like, it may be easy to deny the existence of God, but it's not that easy to deny the existence of love of God. If you find someone who has love of God, it's difficult to... Like, I'm not saying that nothing is going on, because there will be so many extraordinary symptoms. Even to begin with, about upashamashrayama sivatan, he's saying that person is fully self-control. If you want to put that sadhu in his laboratory, less objectively, I mean, that person is controlling his senses. It's like, oh my God, this is from other world. And that's just the very basic foundation of what does it mean to have the love of God. So... we can find God in love of God. So interestingly, not only we will find God in love of God, but somehow here Krishna is trying to find himself in love of God. No? In Radha's Mahabhav. No? He's trying to find himself in a more expanded version by going through that himself as Mahaprabhu. So some thoughts. I mean, I have some other thoughts, but I don't want to kill anyone from overdose. Gore overdose. What do you think, Dev Madhava?
Yeah.
I mean, we can continue today, but we can continue today.
Yes, please.
Maybe there's questions, and if you want to share more, I think we're all here to hear it.
Okay. You are totally spoiled by Hari Parsad Prabhu 3 hours per day, so it's okay, no problem. I can continue speaking.
Our fitness is up.
He established a good standard. Yeah. Okay, you are ready for more. So as we mentioned, not only Krishna's Mahaprabhu is tasting Radha Bhava, but also he's committing himself to do something about it and trying to extend his own. I mean, he's sharing as Mahaprabhu is, again, the outcome of his own experience. Krishna's tasting something, that's the main purpose of his descent. Whatever he's tasting starts to overflow him and becomes his the secondary purpose for his descent, if you will. I mean, he comes as the Yuga avatar, but his Yuga avatar function becomes affected by the main purpose of his descent. So whatever he's giving in the context of normal Yuga Dharma, in this case it's a very unique Yuga Dharma once in a day of Brahma, which becomes intertwined with what Mahaprabhu is tasting himself. So in this way, to begin with, I mean, I hope this is clear, this point, that Gaur Lila is not only a bridge to Krishna Lila, but you can see that as the apex of Krishna Lila and the natural extension of Krishna Lila. And again, I like to say all the things because sometimes we may, even inadvertently, take some aspects of Krishna consciousness for granted. Yeah, Gaur Lila, yeah. Mahaprabhu, yeah, Sankirtan.
Most merciful.
And you are right in all those things, but you have not played out the implications of each of those terms. That's the difference. In the beginning, we can receive the basic glossary, and it's okay. Mahavadanjaya, Harikira, it's okay. But at some point in our trajectory, we will need to play out each one of those words. You go back to all of Prabhupada's books in the glossary, and you start to go term by term. Mm-hmm. And try to unpack all the implications of this term. Acharya, Harinam Sankirtan, Mahavadanya Avatar, Gaur Lila, and try to understand this is not only what I think it is. The worst possible thing that can happen is that we get to that point like, oh, I know that already. Mahaprabhu himself talked very differently. He will hear from Gadadhar Pandit 108 times Prahlad Charit, which is basic in comparison to what he was about, in one sense. And he wants to make that point. It's not that, oh, let's speak about Prahlad Maharaj. Oh, Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. That's basic. Or maybe it's not basic, but I know the story already. I read it like one time. Mahaprabhu will hear that 108 and say, anayor, more. Like teaching to us this idea. No, do not take Krishna consciousness for granted. Do not think that by just memorizing certain official formulas, how to reply to certain questions, what to say, what to think, there's no space for developing the Siddhanta, there's no space for contributing with new insights. I mean, that's parampara. If you want to keep the current alive, each member of our lineage have to contribute with your own insights. It's not just copy-paste or parroting. I mean, there's two levels of parroting, of course. One level is just copy-paste, another level is Sukadev Goswami's parroting. No? He's biting the fruit and making it sweeter. So you choose which type of parrot you want to be. We have nothing against parroting, but there are degrees of that, basically. So we need, as I like to say, we need to go beyond the script at some point. Not beyond the scripture, but beyond the script, beyond the official, like what to say, how to do, it's perfect. But on some level, as sometimes it's said, those who follow the rules nicely are the ones who know when to break the rules. And break the rules not to transgress and do something immoral, but just to embrace it, a more comprehensive rule, deeper, and so on. So here in Mahaprabhu, we find that. I'm not saying you go beyond the script yourself. Krishna is going beyond his own script as Mahaprabhu. Krishna has his script in Krishna Lila. No? I'm this and that. But in Gaur Lila, he's adopting another script, if you will. No? So, as I like to say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But as Mahaprabhu, he becomes the Supreme Personality of Krishna. So he's going beyond his own script as Gaur, if you will. So if he's going that, doing that, we should be doing that to follow him. We worship a God beyond the script. We should learn to go beyond the script. Again, not beyond the scripture. I'm not just promoting whimsical anarchism or things like that. But we need to to take the script, basically, and to ruminate on the script in such a way that it becomes another script now. Oh, no? Prahlad Maharaj will say, puna punas char vita char vanana. What's the meaning, Namrasa?
Chewing the chewed.
And what's the implication of that? I mean, why Prahlad Maharaj is using that example? Promoting some bubble gum or anything?
No. No, that material sense enjoyment is like chewing the chewed. It's
okay.
The enjoyment in it.
Okay. But now we are applying that line in another context. No? You have to chew the chew. No? You receive some script, you receive some instruction, take that, make it your own, ruminate on that, chew the chew, and
break
something new. Something new will come from that. No? Sorry?
Break it down.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Play out the implications of that, and you realize, oh, so much was inside that. I thought that Gurudev, the Vaishnava, gave me this, but now that I'm doing my homework, so much further juice is coming from that, basically. And it was there, but I have to do my homework for that to happen. So Mahaprabhu is Krishna doing his homework very nicely. He's a very good student, as we know. Krishna is a student of Sri Radha in the school of Prem, as we said yesterday. So again, going beyond the script is not about transgression, but it's about playing out implications of all that already we have received. So in that sense, I'm saying that Mahaprabhu is Krishna beyond the script, basically. It's Krishna beyond his own script in Krishna Lila and trying to learn and enact Radha's script, if you want to put it like that. No, it's trying to experience Radha Bhava. So because of this, and many other reasons for sure, Mahaprabhu has been termed, for example, by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he has been described as Paratattva Simma. So Paratattva Simma means the highest reach of transcendence, the highest limit of the Absolute, interestingly, establishing Mahaprabhu, if you will, above Krishna. Quote unquote, again, we are not speaking about two different people here, but the highest possible reach of Krishna, tasting something that he has no knowledge of as Krishna in Brajalila, interestingly. And Sri Gaur Govinda Maharaj also likes to invoke this type of ideas. He quoted once one verse from Narahari Sarkar, who defines Mahaprabhu as Bhakti Naipunya, which means Gaur Lila is the same idea. It's the highest limit of Bhakti. Now, you will experience that in Gaur Lila. He will give the example, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he will say, it's like the mango. You have a white, green mango and a golden mango. So what's the difference? The golden mango is a ripe mango. So Mahaprabhu is the golden mango, golden lord, if you will, Gaur Hari, Gaur Chanda. So, and he will reply to that. If someone will ask him, why Shyam Sundar became Gaur Sundar? What's the purpose behind that? And he will say, because in the former, Shyam Sundar, the mellow is unripe. The mango is still green. Thanks, Ananda Murari, for confirming the points there. We need some cheerleaders here. So that's why he had to, I mean, the mango needs to attain its point of proper taste. You said you have this saying in English, no? Like something is the new black, right? Golden is the new black. Gaur is the new Shyam. So that's the motto of Gaur Lila. You like that? I know which are the highlights for Namrasa. Golden is the new black. Gaur is the new Shyam. So let's finish with some further ideas and we are closing here. Like, regarding this idea of ripeness and sweetness and a mango analogies and whatnot. Sometimes we can give this example also, not like the, and for those who have been in India, especially in Mayapur, I will say you will know what I'm talking about. You have these people who sell like sugar cane juice. You have their machines for, how to say, squeezing the bamboo and
sugar cane,
sorry. So, and they put the sugar cane once, but goes again. It's not only once. but it's further squeezing, if you want to put it like that. No? So you put the sugar cane between the wheels, and juice is coming. Sugar cane again, further juice is coming. And this a good number of times.
Fold it in half.
Exactly. All the possible things till the fullest juice is coming. So we can give this example with the different phases of divinity, if you will. Further squeezing. Mm-hmm. No? You first put the first sugar cane absolute, and will come some Narayan juice. With all respect for sure to Sri Vaishnavism and so on. But if we squeeze more, some further juice will come, and Sri Ramachandra will appear. No? But still, there's more juice to come. So, you again, another one, the same one, Dwarkesh Krishna. It's coming. Then you start to fold up the sugar cane, still more, Mathuresh Krishna. But the client says, still more. I'm paying for something, put more there. Okay. More, Braja Krishna. So the owner of the shop say, okay, no more juice possible. One more squeezing is possible.
Put some lemon and ginger now.
Put some lemon and ginger. Add the necessary masala there, if you will. And finally, Sriman Gorsundar is coming. The culmination of squeezing the juice of the absolute. Paratattva Simma means that. So Gorsundar means that, basically, for us. The culmination of the Krishna Leela, the highest reach of the Krishna Leela. Sometimes, as I mentioned yesterday, I think Gaur Leela is described as Parishishta Leela. Parishishta is like the appendix of a book, not the appendix here, but in the book. That kind of completes the book. It's like an afterthought. We have Krishna Leela, and Gaur Leela is the afterthought of Krishna Leela. After Krishna Leela, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami shares that in the fourth chapter of Adi Leela. Krishna like reflecting back on Krishna Leela, on the love of different devotees for him, and all that takes him to say, I have to come back again as Mahaprabhu. So Gaur Leela is afterthought, Parishishta Leela. And this Parishishta Leela makes the whole book attain culmination. So what we find in the Bhagavad attains culmination in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you will. That's a connection also you can find. The Gita concludes where the Bhagavatam begins. Now Gita concludes where? Sarvadharmam parityajam amikam sharanamrita. That's conclusion of the Gita. Where does the Bhagavatam begins? Dharma prahito kaita vultra. Here, that's the same idea of the conclusion of the Gita. So where the Gita ends, Bhagavatam begins. Where does the Srimad Bhagavatam end? Very last verse. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranasanam Pranamoduka Samanas Tannamami Harimpura. Last verse of Bhagavatam. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. It's throwing us at the feet of Nama Sankirtan. So where the Bhagavatam Krishna Leela concludes, Gaur Leela, if you will, begins. My Guru Maharaj always likes poetically to mention, Srila Vyasadeva spoke the Bhagavatam in the Himalayas. Now he had this epiphany, his samadhi, where the Bhagavatam revealed to him that was high in the Himalayas. And the Himalayas is where the Ganga begins her journey, her earthly current, if you will. And in Navadvip, the Ganga reaches the Bay of Bengal and attains the ocean. If you want to put some poetry in between of this. So similarly, Gaur Leela begins, or if you will, Krishna Leela begins in the Himalayas as the Ganga, with Srila Vyasadeva having that revelation. But that flow of Krishna Leela reaches the Bay of Bengal, reaches Navadvip, attains its point of culmination there. Yeah. The culmination of the Bhagavad, and that's why we have Chaitanya Bhagavad. There's another Bhagavad altogether. Srimad Bhagavad, Chaitanya Bhagavad. Bhagavat has to go on. Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya. So in Navadvip, the Ganga becomes stable upon reaching the ocean. So similarly, we could say the Ganga there is not making further effort to move. You follow? I'm here. In other words, there's no other necessary lila above Gaur-lila, if you will. No? Gaur-lila is the fulfillment of Krishna-lila. Mm? At that point, Krishna obtained his PhD as Mahaprabhu. That's another way of putting that, in academic terms. Mahaprabhu is Krishna's obtaining his PhD. No? He attained what he wanted to attain. And of course, if we have the fortune of, and with this I'd like to conclude, if we have the fortune of being speaking about the things today, being hearing about the things today, that is because of Mahaprabhu's extreme compassion. Mm-hmm. As Gaur Govinda Maharaj will explain, Mahabhadanya Avatar means he has to be given the highest thing even to the lowest. Mm-hmm. If not, you cannot receive that label, that title, Mahabhadanya. Mm-hmm. If you are given the highest to the highest, that's like an elite thing. Or if you are given the lower to the lowest to the lowest, that's another way of elite. But if you are given the highest even to the lowest, which we spoke the other day, what makes us worthy of causeless grace? That we are unworthy. So that's the principle here in Gaur Lila. So Mahaprabhu is given the highest, but before given the highest, he is tasting the highest. So first he's tasting the highest, then he's sharing his remnants of his own experience and extending that to the most undeserving ones. So in that sense we could say Mahaprabhu is the highest form of divinity because he's giving what nobody else gave, and in order to give that he's tasting first that. As I quoted in the Mangala Charan, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes in Namashtakam this idea. I mean, that's another verse. But he's saying, between the name of Krishna and Krishna, there's no difference. Avinatvam namanamino. But then he will say, but if you would like to see a difference, we always like to see differences. Say, okay, I accept, there is one difference. So what's that difference? That Nam is more generous than Nami, than the named. The name is more merciful than the named. So there's no difference between Krishna Lila and Gaur Lila similarly. But if you want to make one difference, we can, following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. He says Gaur Lila is more merciful. Audarya Lila. Because what is being given, and because again, for that to be being given, it has to be tasted first. So in that sense Gaur Lila is also most special, because something that has not been given in Krishna Lila has been given, and something that has not been tasted in Krishna Lila has been first tasted in order to be given. So Mahaprabhu is relishing something, but again, he's not a selfish relisher. Oh, this is so nice, so good. It's only for me, I keep it for myself. He's distributing that as much as he can. He's the one that relishes the most, and he's the one that distributes the most. These are some of the implications of him being Mahabhadanja avatar. He's in the mood of Sri Radha, in the mood of the highest madness of Sri Radha. And when you are mad, you may do some things that you won't do if you are not mad, basically. So you are giving some stuff indiscriminately, without filter, which seems like how you are giving that much to that guy, Padmanabha Maharaj from Argentina. How can you give that to that underserving, insignificant fellow there? But madness is madness, basically. So Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of in the madness of Sri Radha. And of course, we are the blessed ones in that connection, no? Tasting the highest zenith of Bhagavatam in the form of Gaur Lila. Can I conclude reading one brief paragraph from my book in that connection?
You can try.
Let's see. Because, yeah, this is coming to my mind here. It's a note about inherent or inherited. It's a conclusion. Somehow it's connected, but for those who want to follow, page 331, at least I see someone there with the book. So this is almost the concluding words of the book, which subtitle is Sri Gaur, the Two Bhagavatas and the Jewels of Prem. So it's one page and a half, with your permission, and we'll close there. It says like this. As has been shown, Braja Prem descends straight from Golok and approaches us in the most generous way through the agency of the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat, both ultimately personified in the figure of Sri Gaur Krishna and his compassionate agents, the sadhus. Their unrepayable dispensation could be compared to when a homeless person, by being in the right place at the right time, suddenly becomes rich without deserving it at all. Without such a stroke of good fortune, our attempts could be compared with trying to acquire the supramundane Shamantaka or Kaustubha jewels by way of money, gold, or any other earthly gems. These jewels are rightfully enjoyed by Bhagavan and his entourage and can be experienced by ordinary people only through some close friend of theirs. Similarly, bhakti is like a great transcendental jewel, and apart from the causeless mercy of one of Bhagavan's nearest and dearest, the person Bhagavat, there is no other way to obtain that precious touchstone. Likewise, the book Bhagavat, which comes to us through the person Bhagavat, is not an exception to this rule, and its very name bears witness to this. As Gaudiyas embraced the Bhagavat according to how Mahaprabhu himself embraced it, the result of such an embrace has taken the form of a remarkable epithet, Srimad Bhagavatam. While the term Bhagavatam denotes something related or belonging to Sri Bhagavan, the esoteric term Srimad points to bhakti in its ultimate expression of personified Mahabhav, Sri Radha. This Mahabhav barely implies divine frenzy, which represents the definitive converging point of the whole Bhagavat. And in this way, Sri Mad refers to the madness, Mad, of Radha, Sri. Sri Mad. Mad also means madness in English, but in Sanskrit, Mada means madness. So Radha, name from Radha is Sri. So Sri Mad means the madness of Sri from Bhagavan, Bhagavat. So in this way, Sri Mad refers to the madness, Mada, of Radha Sri in her loving interaction with Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Thus, we Gaudiyas also call it Srimad Bhagavatam or Radha Bhagavatam. But such concept begs for further development, which plays out in the very apex of the Bhagavat, in which Sri Hari contemplates Radha's Mahabhav and becomes greedy to taste it, thus giving rise to Gaur Lila, what we explained today. Here, Braja Krishna drenches himself in the glory of Radha's experience to such a point that her Mahabhav becomes his, her madness becoming his own. It is in the midst of this pandemonium that Sri Gaur Sundar then relishes Radha's Mahabhav. But the experience overflows from him, splashing whoever is nearby, including undeserving passers-by such as us. This is just like if the wife of a rich man goes mad and suddenly throws all of her jewelry from her rooftop, making even the poorest of people rich, though they have no merit whatsoever. And when her millionaire husband sees this, he has no problem at all, since he knows the extent of his own wealth. Correspondingly, the Srimad Bhagavatam ultimately speaks to us about the mad of Sri for Bhagavan, in which all her jewels of bhakti are indiscriminately delivered in the madness of Mahabhav to one and all, in the topmost expression of compassionate love as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Needless to say, we are those most fortunate redeemed paupers in this magical story. Sriman Gaur Sundar ki
jai.
Anyhow, some thoughts we want to share today about, hopefully, that was a good dive into Gaur Lila. Which, as you may see, I'm not maybe narrating that much of Lila in itself, but trying to show more like the ontology and the greatness behind the Lila. So, I don't know if we have some minutes for some, if there is any questions, or we are already in time.
Why does Krishna consider himself such a rascal and then still do what he's doing? Why does he consider it to be such rascal behavior?
Mm-hmm.
We because he knows he's breaking their hearts because they want only him, exclusively him, and him not to be delivered to others? Or is it because he really believes his behavior is rascal-like?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I maybe used the correct word in this case, but when I say that Krishna considers himself a rascal or a criminal, or if we are, I mean, if you refer to the moment when he is returning back to the gopis after they were singing Gopi Gita, he's mostly doing that because he feels, again, that they love him so much, exclusively, and basically he's not able to repay back. Now, that's mainly the idea, no? Like deep humility. Like, I feel you are giving yourself to me so much. And especially the gopis, because the gopis have parakya bhav, which is a type of love in which you have to reject everything else and everyone else in order to attain Krishna. You follow my point? For example, I don't know, let's say Sridham, Subal, some of the friends of Krishna, they don't need to reject other friends to love Krishna, if you want to put it like that. Yashoda doesn't need to reject Nanda Maharaj to love Krishna, but the gopis need to reject their husband, everything, to love, in the sense of that's clandestine in the dynamics of the Leela. Nobody can know about that. So they are doing that. They are rejecting everything for the sake of Krishna. And Krishna is thinking, I cannot do that. It's not possible for me to do that. So you are giving yourself to me in such a degree that by comparison, I'm a rascal. I mean, he's in one sense, of course, not a rascal and not a criminal, but in his subjective experience, in contrast with the degree of love he's witnessing, he'll feel. Like we said the other day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is full of prem, but prem can expand so much that he will say sometimes, I'm full of lust. It's not that he's actually full of lust, but he sees so much more prem can be attained that in comparison, whatever prem I have, it's lust. Of course, we won't agree with him. We will sing the song and make it our own on another level. So similarly, he will say, I'm full of lust, but actually he's not full of lust. So Krishna is saying, I'm a criminal and a rascal. We'll say, we know he's not. I mean, he may, in Leela, Manjaris and so on will call him a rascal and so on, but that's again in the dynamics of the Leela, and criminal even. But but the point is basically that direction. No? Krishna is feeling so much indebted, no? Krishna's feeling, I've taken so much from you, if you will, I've received so much, and I'm not giving. So it's kind of compared to, it's so unproportionate that it can be compared to a theft, basically. No? If you give me a lot, and I'm just giving you nothing, almost, you will think, I'm practically stealing from you. I'm exploiting you. So that's how Krishna feels subjectively. And that's, of course, speaks about his non-rascaldomness, if you will. No? I mean, he's such a great personality that he will feel like that for himself. But actually, we know that that's not the case, if you will. No? So that would be basically the idea.
Thank you.
Karuna had us.
Yeah. So you mentioned how Krishna has a beauty and the devotees try to serve him to that beauty and Krishna increases beauty.
Krishna Das Kaviraj says that, yeah.
So now Krishna has kind of repaid what the gopis wanted. Or
he's trying his best, but that's not happening. That's what, yeah. You continue.
So does the gopis or Srimati Radharani ever feel indebtedness to Krishna? Like, do they have the same mood that Krishna has now?
Hmm.
Do they also reciprocate that kind of mood at times?
Hmm. Well, some things to say in that connection. One, to begin with, as you mentioned, okay, Krishna's Mahaprabhu is trying to repay the gopis and trying to experience Radha Bhav. But how to say, he will never be able to fully repay, nor he will ever be able to fully experience Radha Bhav, because Radha Bhav is a bottomless ocean. So there's no end to that, and that's why Gaur Leela is eternal. For me, the main reason how to explain Gaur Leela is eternal, because there's no end to tasting Radha Bhav. So Krishna is dedicated in a separate eternal lila to taste that forever. You follow? It's not that he tasted the fullness of Radha Bhav and that's all. No need for further Gaur lila. Yeah, I mean, there's no end to that. So one level, in one sense, you can say that. And in connection to the gopis or trying to reciprocate to Krishna and so on, of course they do so and they continue doing so at every moment. And that was just further increasing Krishna's depth in that connection. Because, for example, when Krishna appears, returns in the Braja, in the Rasa Lila, and is telling the gopis again, I cannot repay back, and so on, what I said, actually the gopis will, in their own situation, will think, oh, we thought that Krishna left us for some other reason, but actually we realized his integrity and nobility. We were just criticizing him, but actually he was thinking the best for us. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so special. And they felt themselves, we are such rascals. So that's the nature of love. The two parties will feel, I am the rascal. No, I am the rascal. I don't love you. No, I don't love you. No, if you will. No, that's the competition. No? In Prem Samput, this idea is given by Sri Radha herself. She says, if someone says, I love you, that person knows nothing about love. Mm-hmm. For two reasons. Why? First, because you can always love more that person. So you will, if you really have a glimpse of what it means to love, you will realize this never ends. So if I say, I love you, it means I have limited the scope of that. And second, if I really love someone, there won't be a separate sense of being from me and developed. So I won't say, I love you. Because one of the features of love is pranay. Pranay means you and I become one in love. Not in personalist way, but in a dynamic way. Your body is my body, and so on. So, of course, again, Radha and the gopis are always reciprocating with Krishna, and we could say, and we could, maybe we'll speak about that a little bit tomorrow, that's on another level even. If you think this is this level, tomorrow, fasten your seatbelt. Because, for example, if you say, okay, Krishna appears as Mahaprabhu to repay Sri Radha somehow, to try. So what does Sri Radha do about that? Okay, she will appear as Gadadhar Pandit in Gaur Lila. And she will offer herself, in a very unique way to allow Mahaprabhu to be successful, basically. Yeah. I mean, because Gadadhar Pandit is Sri Radha giving her bhav, so Krishna can taste that as Mahaprabhu. Mm. Sri Radha is not, if Gadadhar is not doing that, Mahaprabhu is not so successful. The whole Gaur Lila will be a failure. So Gadadhar Pandit is allowing all that to happen. Although he is the less generally known person in the whole Gaur Lila, and you will hear the less about him. He's in the back of the curtain allowing everything to happen, orchestrating the whole Lila in the deepest sense. So we will speak tomorrow a little bit about that and how Radha in Gaur Lila is reciprocating to Krishna's attempt to give himself to her and so on. But today maybe we can stop here and continue tomorrow. Or no, I don't know if tomorrow.
Oh, we just decided what we're hearing tomorrow.
We continue tomorrow. Okay. Jai Srila Gurudev ki Jai Sriman Mahaprabhu ki Jai Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan ki Jai Sri Sri Gaur Nityananda ki Jai Sri Gaur Lila ki Jai Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki Jai Gaur Premanand.